As a Christian, you never tire of an Easter Sunday, do we? It's just one of them fantastic days when we just remember what Christ has done, what God has achieved through Christ for the likes of us, just ordinary people. You're special, but I'm nothing special. So I think, God, you're just wonderful. So I'm going to speak about the resurrection and what that's achieved for us. So I'm going to speak from Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to read from verses 1 to 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Have you had days where there's been occasions where you just wonder what's happened? Has that ever happened to you? It has to me on occasions. There was one particular occasion. I found myself laying in the garden on top of a big pile of leaves. And I'm wondering to myself, what's happened? Because a minute ago, you see, I was up a double ladder. And because we got some trees in our back garden, and one of these branches was hanging down rather low, and I thought, I'm going to have you one day. So I got my ladder out and I went up there. I was good because Jill was footing the ladder. Jill was in the garden at the time. I didn't go up on my own, so Jill was there. I took my chainsaw, because you do, don't you? You know, well, I'm not going to cut it with a pair of scissors, am I? So I get up there with my chainsaw, and I did remember the ladder's here, and I didn't cut the branch on that side. I did remember to cut it on this side. Right, so I cut it off, and what happened was this great big branch fell off, but the bough of it flicked back and flicked the ladder off. And lo and behold, I'm thrown, and I don't know where the chainsaw's gone, it's not with me. So I'm on this pile of leaves, because Jill had very thoughtfully, she must have had some premonition, or maybe it's some prophetic insight, I'm not quite certain, but she'd got this huge, huge, big plastic bag of leaves which we was rotting down. This was behind a whole load of shrubs, between the shrubs and the fence, and quite honestly, even the fence had these poles up, and I missed all that, and someone said afterwards, "You know what, I think someone's watching over you," and you know what, I do believe that actually. So you get these things, you wondered what has happened, don't we? You've probably had similar tales. I don't know if anyone's got to test me now. You'd like to share? But okay. Okay, maybe not. Okay. So, what has happened? And this is really the crunch of the gospel message. So let's just remind ourselves. Well, we will do if it clicks. So, the ladies get up early in the morning and they went to the tomb. Can someone help me here? No. Okay. Sorry? I wouldn't know. Is that up or down? It should be green. Yeah, we are on green. Right, so they went to the tomb, and when they get there, they found the stone is rolled away from the tomb. And also, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Then, we know, as we read in the scripture there, these two men dazzling in white, and they come out and say, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen." So the ladies then, they came back from the tomb and told these things to the 11 and to all the others. But they did not believe their women because their words seemed to them like foolishness. Do you know what? I've spoken sometimes about Jesus when I'm at work or neighbours or whatever, and people say, "You know what? It's just nonsense. Just nonsense, I don't believe it." Maybe that's where you're at tonight, I don't know. But just bear with us, because I want to just tell you some of what actually happened here. It's not nonsense. Peter, however, gets up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. He went away, wondering to himself what had happened. So what's happened? What's the significance of all this? Is it nonsense or is it true? You see, I wonder if Peter now starts to recall some of what Jesus had said and done. And I wonder if part of his recalling, he remembers that just a few days earlier, whilst they were celebrating the Passover meal with the disciples, because the Passover meal, remember, is really, really special to the Jewish community. But there was something even more special at this particular meal. Because Jesus says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Now we may think, so what's a covenant? Now, a covenant is a contract, a treaty, a promise, a pledge, a bond, usually between two parties. Now, in this covenant, the covenant was between God and man. But I would say we can only approach God on his terms. God is sovereign. He is Lord. He's in charge. There's no debate on that whatsoever. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And some people think they can do a deal with God. Well, God, if you're really real, do this, and I'll believe in you. It doesn't happen. No way. You see, it's impossible for man to dictate to God the terms of a covenant. Now, supposing, it's going to take some imagining this, the Queen's inviting me, right, I told you it takes some imagining, to go and see her. Right, John, how about having tea with me? Oh, that'd be very nice. You can just imagine that happening, can't you? Right. Now, when I get to Buckingham Palace, It's no good me thinking, we've just come back from holiday, I've not had a chance to do the washing, and Jill's been rather busy. So no good me thinking, I'm going to arrive there in my shorts, my t-shirts, my flip-flops. I don't think it's going to work like that. I'm sure the palace guards and all the queen's retinue are going to dictate some of the terms of what I wear, where I go, what I do, what I say, and everything else. It's not going to be up to me. She is sovereign. She's the queen. And so it is with God. You see, because of God's sovereignty, his absolute holiness, it is he and not man who states the terms of the covenant. So for the man Jesus, at the Passover meal, to speak with such authority, such compassion, such conviction, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you, is nothing short of incredible. So what happened? See, Peter, he'd been with Jesus. He'd seen him get arrested. He'd seen him nailed to the cross. He'd watched him die. He sees him when they take his body down. Peter knows Jesus died. And now Peter's told he's alive. He's risen from being dead. This can only mean one thing. All that Jesus said is true. It's actually true. So what's the significance of Jesus being raised from the dead and this new covenant thing? You see, the old covenant was based on obedience to the laws of God, which included observance of rituals, ceremony, and special feasts. You had to do so much stuff. There's no way you could approach God. That was only through the priest. And then it was only at certain times of the year. And this new covenant is based on faith in Jesus Christ. It's not rules, it's not regulation. Faith in Jesus Christ as a Son of God who died as a sacrifice for our sins. You see, God is holy and cannot even come near or abide sin. I need to realize, I need to accept I'm a sinner. I think, John, you're getting a bit heavy here. Okay, stick with it. Let's look, not what I'm saying, let's look at what the Bible says about us. There is no one who does not sin. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. There is none righteous, not even one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But then, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. You say, but there's no one. Well, what about people like Mother Teresa? Yeah, as good as a dear lady was, she would still say herself, she was a sinner. So, and because we're sinners, you know what happens? We're condemned. Matthew says, how will you escape being condemned to hell? Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Again in John, whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. It's not about actions. It's not about doing stuff, right and wrong. Believing in Jesus. All will be condemned who've not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. So, as a result of sin, men are dead. We're not sick or a bit unwell, but dead, unable to change, unable to rescue ourselves. So, in Ezekiel, it says, the soul who sins is the one who will die. In Romans, the wages of sin is death. In Ephesians, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Remember what I said earlier? If we're dead, you're unable to help yourself. There's nothing you can do. So you say, well, what's the answer? What help is there? The answer is Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. And so for sinners, here we have the sin bearer himself, Jesus Christ. In Isaiah it says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. I'll come on to justification in a second. Romans, again, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement. And in Hebrews, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And this is Peter. Remember Peter? This is where we started out, wasn't it? Yeah. He comes to realize later on, for Christ died for sins once and for all. The righteous for the unrighteous. What to do? To bring us to God. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. So Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins. And in doing so, he saves us from condemnation and has achieved for us and granted us justification. Right, justification, in a simple word, it's just as if I'd never sinned. Simple way of remember it. That's what's happened. Rather than being condemned, justified, just as if I'd never sinned, never done it wrong. You're thinking, what? Yeah. God offers us a second chance. And in Romans, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And again in Romans, therefore there is now no condemnation, none whatsoever, for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is important. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. He is the supreme authority. If God says you're justified, no one can say you're not. No one can stand up and say, God, you must have forgotten about that. No, no, no. God says you're justified, you are justified. No condemnation whatsoever. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is the gospel message. So rather death Instead of being condemned, we're justified. And instead of death, God gives us eternal life. Again, in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." I tell you the truth, this is Jesus speaking, right? "Whoever hears my word and believes him," that's God, "who sent me, has eternal life and will not be condemned." He's crossed over from death to life. Jesus speaking again, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." These are the words of Jesus. It's not that Jesus doesn't lie. Jesus cannot lie. It's impossible. Right? So when Jesus says, "I give them eternal life," you can be assured you're going to get eternal life. You can be assured you're not going to perish. You can be assured you're not going to get, maybe someone's changed their mind, I may not get to heaven. No, Jesus says, no one can snatch them out of my hand. Jesus says it will happen. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Again, this is the same Peter who was wondering what's happened. Again, later on, realizes just the truth of everything. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The old covenant was restricted to Israelites only. The new covenant in Jesus Christ is open to all who put their faith in Jesus. People from every land, every nation, whatever language they may speak, from all types, all sorts of backgrounds. Jesus has paid the price for everyone. No one is excluded by God. We exclude ourselves by refusing to accept, refusing to believe Jesus is the only Son of God who died for our sins. So what's the benefit of coming to faith in Christ? For me, it's been a few years, and I just enjoy a wonderful life. Number one is I have peace that I'd not known before. It's peace with God because he's dealt with all my stinking, rotten, horrible sinfulness. He's dealt with it in such a way. He says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from before me." God, not going to remember it anymore. I've got a brand new start. So I've got peace with God. And because I have peace with God, I have an inner joy, an inner peace. My whole being feels good. I've got the promise of eternal life, so that when I die, not if, but when, I've got no fear of death. Death's been conquered. Yes, I'm going to leave this earth, but I'm going to be with Christ in heaven forever. Eternity. So do I want eternal condemnation, eternal hell, or do I want eternal life in heaven? Man, it's a no-brainer. So this is some of the benefit. This is what I enjoy. So I know where I'm going. No fear of death. It's wonderful. I know of God who's with me every day and throughout every day. God's with me now. He's with me earlier. He's going to be with me tonight. Even when I'm sleeping, God is there. And you know what he says about me? You're special. You're precious. My son Jesus died for you. You believed him. I love you so much. These are the benefits. It's wonderful. I can talk to God whenever I want to. I don't have to come up with special phrases and words. I just talk ordinary, everyday language. And you know what? God understands me. Many people don't, but God understands me. And God answers my prayers. He does. Who am I? Almighty God. I pray something, he does it. What? Who am I? No one. God says you're special. And so are you. So are you. So, you may say, okay, John, that all really sounds... So what should I do then? Well, if you're not a Christian, if you do not have that relationship with God, you can do. It's just believe in Jesus. You say, we say repent. Just say sorry for all that you've done wrong. And receive this covenant of grace, of peace with God. Knowing Jesus has paid the price for your sins, never ever to be remembered again. An addition offers you the gift of eternal life. So if you want to, you could say this prayer. You could do. Or words to this effect. Lord God, I admit I'm a sinner. I ask that you forgive me. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die as a sacrifice for my sins. Please come into my life. And make me into the person you want me to be. You can try as hard as you want to be the person that you want to be. But you know what? God does it a lot quicker and a lot easier. God, all for you. Maybe you prayed this prayer some years ago and maybe you've just that relationship just slipped a bit. You can get right back with God right now. You know how to. You've prayed that prayer. God, please. I've been pretty rubbish. You know what? I want to restore that relationship. Just ask God to come upon you again. And he will. God never says no. Don't matter what you've done. Don't matter where you've been. Don't matter how long you've been adrift. God will never say no. Father, I just thank you for Jesus Christ. We praise you, God, that Jesus was raised from the dead, proving that his sacrifice was fully acceptable to you. God, we worship you for all that you've done for us. God, so many of us, knowing Jesus, enjoying your presence, enjoying your peace, enjoying the thought, the promise of eternal life and eternity with you. Worshipping you and worshipping you. I pray, oh God, come upon this congregation now. Come, just search our hearts and our minds. Just search us, oh God. We can hide nothing from you. Come and do your work. God, for those of us who know you, Lord, help us to be just a shining light for you, sharing the love of Jesus Christ wherever we go. Amen.